Patty Page is warming up, too.
Listen for the love song. Listen for the love song. If you think your chance for love is growing slim, you'll be all alone some night when lights are dim.
Unidentified flying objects, fact or fiction. The controversy and the discussion just refuses to die despite the recent Condon report, which poo-pooed UFOs. Instead of killing discussion, the disputed report continues to kick up comment. The latest comes from a group known as APROS, Aerial Phenomena Research Organization. A report from APROS headquarters in Tucson, Arizona, by Monitor reporter Jay Miller.
In discussing a recently released University of Colorado report made under contract for the Air Force and called the Condon Report, APROS International Director Jim Lorenzen calls it a giant step backward from a scientific viewpoint and says the Condon Report has a medieval approach by attempting to stifle even interest in the subject. Lorenzen says it suggests that no further serious study be accorded the topic of UFOs, a viewpoint which he says is not shared by more than 100 scientists in his organization. The heart of the matter, according to Lorenzen, is whether the committee, headed by Dr. Edward Condon of the University of Colorado, had access to, or indeed really studied, a number of Air Force reports on UFOs which are classified secret. These include sightings reportedly made by Air Force radar sites, Lorenzen says, and are crucial to the whole matter. At a recent lecture, Lorenzen was asked if, in his own opinion, these classified reports contain the best proof of UFOs.
Yes, I think so, because I think that's why they're classified. I think they're classified because they are definite evidence of intelligently controlled vehicles. And, of course, if you have an intelligently controlled vehicle penetrating our airspace, that's a national security matter, and the case is therefore classified. But, at the same time, to answer your question, that is where the evidence lies that would prove the situation once and for all.
Lorenzen admits that some apparently incredible reports of sightings of the Take Me to Your Leader and the Little Green Men variety have come from what he calls opportunists, psychotics, and self-deluded people. But he claims his organization, which is international, gives no encouragement to these. He says that UFO sightings exist elsewhere, perhaps even more plentifully than in the United States, and that there is less fear of ridicule in foreign countries in reporting them. Are there cycles in reporting UFOs?
Well, now the cycles relate to the proximity of Mars, the best we can tell, and they do not seem to bear a direct relationship to population distribution. They don't bear a direct relationship to seasonal distribution. They don't seem to bear a direct relationship to stressful situations. So I think they must be based on real crests of sightings rather than a tendency to report at a certain time.
Seemingly, in discussing Mars as a possible base, Lorenzen is getting himself fairly far out on a speculative, non-scientific limb. Yet he takes a further step by suggesting that sightings seem to come in periodic five-year crests, and the next one might well be early 1972. Despite the Condon report, Lorenzen says that in many scientists, it will create a scientific backlash among those who know there is more to the problem than the report indicates. And finally, we come to the main root problem of whether UFOs really do exist at all, or whether they can be disproved.
Because you can't prove a negative proposition. And on the other hand, it only takes one real spaceship from somewhere else to prove our case, and I think we have several cases that really prove that.
Well, what do you think? UFOs, true, false, delusion, deception? Well, maybe Apollo 9's flight will unlock more mysteries of the universe and increase our knowledge of the various phenomena in outer space. At any rate, this week, we've heard of no spacecraft landings, little green men, or mysterious lights hovering in the sky, but who can say what next week will bring? Flight preparations continue at Cape Kennedy for tomorrow morning's scheduled launch of Apollo 9. Our three-man team of astronauts, McDivitt, Scott, and Schweikert, will be working with space equipment dubbed Gumdrop and Spider. For the details, here's Dean Mell, NBC News at Cape Kennedy.
In little more than 14 hours, Apollo 9 astronauts McDivitt, Scott, and Schweikert will begin the most rigorous space flight yet conceived by NASA. The purpose is to fully test for the first time all of the elements needed for a successful moon landing next summer. That means the men and the machines. The next critical point in the countdown comes at 2 a.m. Eastern Time with the fuel loading of the launch vehicle, as explained by launch director Rocco Patrone.
It's all got to work up to liftoff, and it's got to work after liftoff. So I wouldn't try to say what part is more crucial than another until we're flying. But cryogenic loading would be probably the one that you could say therein you're going to be seeing some new things each time you load.
Actually, there are two space machines, the Apollo mothership, called Gumdrop, and the ungainly lunar module, or LEM, which is codenamed Spider. The three astronauts will ride in Gumdrop atop a Saturn V booster that will blast off at 11 a.m. tomorrow. During their first day in orbit, Gumdrop will separate from the garage containing Spider, turn around, and then fasten itself to Spider. On the second day, the two ships, now linked together, will enlarge their orbit around the Earth in preparation for the critically important activities on the third, fourth, and fifth days of the mission. On the third day, astronauts McDivitt and Schweikert will enter the Spider and test fire one of its two engines for the first time. On the fourth day, Schweikert will make a spacewalk. On the fifth day, McDivitt and Schweikert in Spider will separate from Scott in Gumdrop and fly nearly 100 miles away and then rendezvous. Today, McDivitt attended a private mass. Scott and Schweikert jogged the mile to keep in trim and spent more time in the trainer spacecraft to keep their flying tools sharp. Dean Mell, NBC News, Cape Kennedy, reporting for Monitor.
Complete coverage of the Apollo 9 flight now scheduled for launch Monday morning at 11 Eastern Time on NBC Radio and Television. First reports at 7 a.m. Weekends, you're always in touch when you stay on the Monitor Beacon. Before the Monitor Hour, and here are the Raycon of Singers.
The moon was crowded when I walked in. I stood
This weekend, baseball's spring season is officially underway. So, Monitor asks, what do you think of baseball? And here's a sample of typical answers from the man in the street in San Francisco.
I have always loved baseball. I'd love to play sandlot baseball. I'd love to play high school baseball. Now, baseball is great. It's a competitive game. It's a team game. It requires team spirit. It gets the kids out in the open. They have to run across Mother Earth. They have some physical contact. Beautiful. But my argument is that Major League Baseball has deteriorated badly. There just aren't that many players available of Major League quality.
I really like baseball. My family loves it. My mother listens to every San Francisco Giants game that ever is broadcast every single year. My father, too. I think baseball is one of our more sane sports than American people have. It's not quite as brutal as, say, football, and I hope that it's able to maintain its popularity.
And on the subject of baseball, I just really can't get excited. To sit down and watch a game is really boring. Basketball moves, football moves, soccer is great, hockey, etc. Baseball is really dull.
I've been a baseball fan all my life. I believe that the present circumstance of baseball is ruining itself by overexpanding. I don't think the fans are going to get the caliber of baseball that we've been used to seeing in San Francisco as long as I can remember. The owners of baseball are capitalizing on the fans' ability to pay for sports now and are taking advantage of it and reaping the harvest on the expansion of baseball.
Well, my husband and I go occasionally, mostly with groups. And it's a good game, but it's entirely too slow.
I like baseball. I think it's a great sport for the family. I like to pick a sunny day and go out and watch the Giants play. I wish they'd fix Candlestick Park, though. Can't enjoy the night games too much. A little cold out there.
Well, don't worry, buddy. If the Giants have a good season, that should warm things up for you. Monitor's man on the street in San Francisco and some of his opinions about baseball. Monitor music and something new from Bing Crosby, The Straight Life.
Sometimes I imagine myself as a drifter, seeker of fortunes, connoisseur of grapevines, dashing through meadows of yellow and green, trying to catch the impossible dream, leaving the straight life behind. Sometimes my thoughts may find me in Mexico, drinking tequila, going out of my mind, having a ball on a couple of bob, treating the ladies to call on a car, leaving the straight life behind. Suddenly all my silly thoughts disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ear, running away with my mind. For being in love, I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. I'm just playing a game in my mind. Once in a while in my mind I go bumming, going nowhere with no worry of time, running along, chasing after a train, coming the sun in the rain, leaving the straight life behind. I can just see me on a tropical island, riding the surf and drinking coconut wine, having me fun with golden girls in the sand, chasing the sun through an innocent land, leaving the straight life behind. Disappear. She comes to me softly with crackers and beer, winking and blinking and blowing my ear, running away with my mind. It's good to be in love. I'm not really thinking of leaving the straight life behind. Thank you.
Last weekend, Monitor presented the national premiere performance of excerpts from the new album Laugh-In 69. Right now, let's have a brief encore. The entire Laugh-In gang invites you into their mod world.
Children of America, Outlink Ritter is getting fed off your Weibo. You say quibble things, and he makes money off of it. And what do you get? Scale and no residuals. And what does Wink Ritter have? A mansion in Beverly Hills, oil wells in Texas, sheep ranches in Australia. It's not fair. So, the next time Outlink Ritter asks you to go on TV, bite him on the ankle and say, kids do the darndest things. Or something. I thank you.
Learn to know yourself.
I think all this psychiatry stuff is ridiculous. If parents treated their kids right, there'd be no need for psychiatrists. Well, my parents, for instance, always made me feel an important part of their life, even though they had very little education and only owned a small grocery store. They taught me to accept myself for what I am, a carrot.
It's like I always say, the family that bathes together stays together. Wrong! Hello, I'm your duty dog. Pull my string and I talk. Touch my little body and I hit you. I may be a dog, but I'm not dumb. Yes, you are.
Now go over there and stand by Goldie.
Hi.
That's a good little dolly. You know what? You're kind of cute.
Touch my little body, and I'll hit you.
The Laugh-In Gang and another excerpt from their new album, Laugh-In 69. A word now on behalf of the Campaign for the Rehabilitation of the Mentally and Physically Disabled. Pride, fear, and confusion are preventing some 5 million disabled people from getting help. And it's a shame because most of them could learn to take care of themselves. If you're disabled, write to Help, Box 1200, Washington, D.C. You have nothing to lose but your disability. This campaign is sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. Sound of news wherever it's happening across the nation and around the world. It's coming up next. So stay on the line for NBC Monitor News on the Hour. This is Brad Crandall.
Banks speaking to you for Easter Seals. Every time I hear Batter Up, I think how lucky I am making a living doing something I like to do anyway. There are thousands of crippled children in this country who would like to play baseball, too. But many of these kids are working just hard, learning to walk with crutches or to get about in a wheelchair. What they want above all is independence. As an athlete, I know that courage and determination can help achieve independence. But I also know that it takes a lot more to make an able body out of a crippled one. That takes professional help, skill, dedicated help from doctors and therapists. The Easter Seals Society provides this help through affiliates in every state. But it can't work without your contribution to Easter Seals. So please give generously to the Easter Seals today.
Happiness is the Charlie Brown Show. Weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. on WNBC, Radio 660, New York.